March 16th, Kirk Samuels.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men.
Today's story could have ended very differently. On this date, in 2014, Kirk was just seconds away from ending his life. Today, he is a gifted speaker and a radio personality who focuses on the leadership potential that every man has. He serves on the board of Step 7, a faith-based ministry that helps men overcome addictions and learn to be leaders, and on the advisory council of Be Men, an organization whose mission is to empower men to love God and to be leaders at home, in the church, and in the community. Kirk is the founder of the Heart Freedom Foundation, whose goal is to foster healthy relationships with others and with self. In 2017, he published his first book, For Your Eyes Only, The Inside Scoop About Men, Porn, and Marriage. What happened to change Kirk from a potential suicidal victim to a celebrated leader and helper of other men? Listen to his story.
Your greatest struggle can take you out, or it can become your greatest victory. Kirk Samuels pulled his SUV into the hospital's corner parking space. The street lamp provided the light. He used the tree nearby for a place to relieve himself. After his wife kicked him out, Kirk had stayed with his pastor. But too ashamed to stay indefinitely, he pretended he had other arrangements. He did. A parking lot, a sleeping bag, and the back seat. A greeter at church, Kirk could paste on the smiles. But tonight, he was all out of smiles. He turned off the vehicle. He climbed into the back seat, and he pulled out the gun. Failure, no good, worthless. At 9 years old, he had huddled in his closet to escape his father's abuse. Now, he huddled in the back seat of his car, but he could not escape himself. The addiction that medicated his pain had stolen his dreams, his relationships, and his sense of self-worth. Utter darkness consumed him. Kirk was 12 when the neighborhood boys showed him that first pornographic video. The rush numbed his pain, and soon it chained him to the beast. Kirk's life became focused on the next porn fix. In the old days, he sneaked adult materials, but now everything was available with the tap of his phone. Powerless, he had repeatedly begged God for help. But his need for his next porn fix was always greater than his desire to change. Everyone said he just had to stop. Why couldn't he stop? Kirk raised the gun. His finger twitched on the trigger. All he had done was hurt the ones he loved. His family would be better off with the insurance money. How could you let me get here? He screamed at God. How could you let me do what I'm about to do? Suicide would be his last act of rebellion. A sob broke out. His hands trembled, and he lowered the gun and held it in a death grip. He screamed and sobbed all night. All right, God, Kirk finally prayed. Either you hate me and you never want me to get free of this, or tomorrow, show me how to get free. The next morning, Kirk began looking for answers. What did the brain people, the body people, and the spirit people have to say? It was soon clear why he had not been able to stop. Viewing pornography was not a habit. It was a chemical dependency and spiritual slavery. Stress released high levels of cortisol. The porn the neighbor boys had introduced had released dopamine, oxytocin, endorphins, and testosterone, for which, for a while, eased the pain. The addiction cycle began, a lifetime of medicating pain with porn. Could he reverse engineer the damage? Could he get the chemicals in a way that was natural? Kirk made a plan he called the three W's: work, worship, and word. Physical exercise released endorphins, dopamine, and testosterone. Worship provided an endorphin release. Mental exercise, healing, came through reading scripture and other books. He had settled for getting oxytocin, the love hormone, through the artificial stimulation from a two-dimensional experience of porn. Now, he sought it through cultivating genuine, vulnerable, and three-dimensional relationships. To track wins and losses, Kirk designed a scorecard. When it increased his success, Kirk wondered if others could benefit. He discovered that every porn consumer and every spouse of a porn consumer felt what he had felt: isolation, guilt, and shame. Kirk packaged his approach and taught it to others. As Kirk helped others, he found his purpose in working alongside the Holy Spirit. God tells us in Psalm 107:14, "He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains." Is there any area of your life that brings you guilt and shame? Are you using porn to medicate your pain? Like Kirk Samuels, is this the day you pray to reverse engineer your life? If this is you, I want to pray that you will allow God to do what He has promised. Father, I pray for every man who is struggling with porn to ease his pain, that you bring him out of darkness, the utter darkness, and break away his chains, and take his greatest struggle and make it his greatest victory by your strength working in him. Amen. Be encouraged today and remember, your greatest struggle can take you out, or it can become your greatest victory.
Hey, men. Chuck Stecker here with The Chosen Generation, one of the narrators for the 365 Christian Men. What a privilege to be here with you at this point. You know, our story today, March 16th, Kirk Samuels. Taken by several things, I mean really gripped by several things in Kirk's story. One, it's very recent. This was 2014, 10 years ago right now for us, to look back on when a man was very, very close to taking his own life by suicide. You know, there's a couple of statements in this that I think are very important to us. One of them is, he continually cried out and asked God to take this from him. And then that's followed by people just saying, look, all you have to do is quit. You know, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of battles I've had in my life and the desire to say, well, you know, tomorrow, I don't want to face this battle. I think I'll just quit. But you know, I've dealt with alcohol and other issues, and that's not as simple as it sounds, is it? And we've got to go and trust God with this. But you know, the other part of this is the crying out to God that he did that says, look, either God, you must hate me, you don't love me, or you will fix this problem. But that desperation, I can't do this without you. And you know, that led him then to the pathway of that work and the worship and the word. And he was doing it for himself, but in that ministry that God presented to him, God was ministering to him, he found something there that could help other men. But you know, there's another part of this too. And that when you know the story, yes, he is quite a ways ahead now from that 2014. But as he was working through this, and as he began to help others, he was just sometimes a little bit farther down the road than the people he was trying to help. But he was far enough down the road, a few steps ahead of them, to lead them out of their situation through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, so there's two things here. One is us personally. What are your battles? And crying out to God. And sometimes You know, Paul said three times, this thorn in my side, I asked God to take it, and he didn't. But his grace is sufficient for me. And sometimes God has us minister through his grace. Sometimes in our desperation and our trust and our perseverance with God, he does take that away, but he uses that we may help others. So my challenge to you is, you know, what have you battled with? You haven't overcome, but maybe you've quit trusting God that he's even there for you. Maybe now is the time to pray and say, God, I trust you, and I'm going to go through this with the strength that you're going to give me, and we're going to come out the other side. God bless you guys.